Welcome to the Irish Tech News Podcast, where we will bring you some of the most interesting interviews and features from the world of tech. Visit irishtechnews.ie and check out our podcast section to explore all of our previous episodes. You can subscribe to our podcast using whatever your favorite app or service is by visiting anchor.fm/irish-tech-news.
Hi everyone, just a quick favor to ask before we get going. Our podcast has gone from strength to strength lately, but we'd like to find out how we can improve. We've put together a short survey and we would love to get your feedback. Anyone who takes the time to give their feedback will be entered into competitions where they can win prizes such as smartphones, cameras and drones. So please visit irishtechnews.ie/podcast-feedback. That's irishtechnews.ie/podcast-feedback. Fill out the survey and to be given a chance of winning one of those great prizes. Thanks for your time, and now back to the podcast.
Hi, welcome to today's Irish Tech News Podcast. Today I'm talking with Clark Deaver, Senior Product Manager at Techstars. How are you doing, Clark?
Hey, good to speak with you, Ronan. Happy to be here and excited to speak with your audience.
Yeah, no, great. Now, before we start, tell us a bit about your background so we know who you are.
All right, so my name is Clark Deaver, and I grew up in New York, but not New York City. That's what everyone thinks. Western New York, which is a Rust Belt area, is what we say. You know, so there's a manufacturing sector, and then starting in the '60s, that manufacturing started to go away. So I went to the University at Buffalo, and then I actually moved away from the region, which is pretty common. You know, a lot of brain drain. I took a job at a Fortune 100, but then I missed my family. I spent it on my vacation and holiday flying home. And so I ended up moving back so that I could go on holiday places that I wanted to visit instead of just going home to my my folks. And then I, you know, the long and the short of it is I got interested in startups and entrepreneurship. And I've spent around the last 10 years of my career either building companies or building divisions inside of companies and just kind of working on the edge of the envelope of technology. Because that's really what fascinates me.
Yeah.
And while I do that, working hard to build the startup community in Buffalo. You know, people don't think of Buffalo, New York as being a startup-friendly city, but over the last 2 years in particular, we've grown our startup community to number in the thousands. And that's, you know, just through a lot of organizing effort and connecting people.
Well, to me, basically, I need people who are based in Utah. And Utah right now is a big tech community. And I'm thinking, well, if you're basically a Mormon state, more or less, and there's certain things that the Mormons can't do, how do people work there when you got restrictions on what you kind of can't do? But it works very well there.
Yeah, definitely. I think that, you know, and Brad Feld says this, I think, in one of his books, but any city that has more than 100,000 people can support a startup community, right? Like it's just a matter of wanting it and then going and finding and creating like an open and inclusive environment for people to join you, you know? And when we started, you know, quote unquote started, when we started organizing Buffalo's startup community 10 years ago, there was 15 of us in a coffee shop and we would meet and we would just talk about Twitter and Facebook and these other startups that didn't have a presence in our city. And, you know, we would joke like, oh, maybe they'll open an office here and we can work for them. And after a certain amount of time, we just realized no one was coming to save us.
Yeah.
And so we decided to start founding our own companies and figuring out how venture capital worked. And, you know, fast forward to actually about a month ago, and a couple of those gentlemen that we used to get coffee with, they just rang the bell at NASDAQ, and Buffalo had its first unicorn IPO, a $4 billion valuation for a company called ACV, which was a auto auction, a virtual auto auction for used cars.
And so are you guys based near Woodstock?
It's regionally, but like closer to Niagara Falls.
No, I'm thinking because of New York State. I'm thinking of that because. Because when I think of people say, oh, Woodstock is in New York State, people think it's near New York City. I know it's not, so.
Oh, yeah, it's out in the country for sure.
And I guess Buffalo is now becoming a big tech hub.
doing our best.
Yeah.
We're doing our best to become a big Ty Cup. it's interesting. I mean, just to give your audience some perspective, my high school had cornfields across from it, right?
Yeah.
You know, people think in New York, they think in New York City, this big metropolitan area, but much of New York is very agricultural.
Yeah. And I guess basically over the years, basically startups have changed. Like years ago, what you would call investing is not what you invest in now, because there's a lot more choice of products and areas to go into.
Yeah, that is correct. And it continues to move so quickly. I mean, the work around blockchain and machine learning and AI and, you know, biotech, medtech. I mean, you know, going into this, kind of thinking about COVID, I mean, look at the vaccines that were produced, right?
Yeah.
This mRNA, like, you know, these are startups. These are technologies that didn't exist 20 years ago, and they're, you know, making a huge difference on people's lives. So it's exciting time to be part of the startup community globally.
You got to remember,
sure,
about 5 or 10 years ago, when everyone thought of blockchain, they thought of crypto, when it's more than crypto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is, you know, especially with like Ethereum and the work that is happening with that blockchain, and you know, you have this kind of globally distributed computing system, which is, it's fascinating. I mean, the decentralization that's possible right now is really, I think, bringing us, has the potential, I'll say, to bring us together globally as humans, right? Because a lot of the kind of central thesis of the blockchain technologies is just the ability to kind of, govern, you know, govern by consensus on a large scale, as opposed to having, like, nation states.
I'm thinking of, like smart contracts, which have now come into because of blockchain and made things a lot easier for certain industry. Like, for example, if you're in insurance, smart contract can more or less guarantee that you're not overpaying or underpaying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's lots of cool technologies. I think the other interesting one is, kind of identity verification and all the pseudo anonymity that's available. But like when you look at identity, I mean, think about all the folks who get displaced by conflict, right? And their state that they, you know, are a refugee from no longer exists. So their documents, you know, and they lose their personhood, and that's like a real challenge to, recapture that identity and be able to prove who you are, so you have credit worthiness and all of that. And I think there's some interesting solutions happening there, you know, and these distributed ledgers mean that, like, if a government ceases to exist, you don't cease to exist. And I think that's pretty exciting.
Thinking of the movie The Terminal with Tom Hanks, and how basically he was, and that's basically a true story, but the guy is displaced and no one knows where he's from or anything much about him.
Exactly. No, I mean, it's that exact use case. So exciting stuff, really.
Yeah. And I guess basically also you're involved a lot in the startup ecosystem and doing different various development programs. How has that changed since the pandemic?
Yeah, so, you know, I'm a senior product manager at Techstars, and the product that I work on is called ecosystem development, which is slightly different than our accelerator products. People are familiar with accelerators, the idea that you apply, and if you get accepted, there's an investment, and then you go through a 3-month of like very rigorous mentorship, and then there's a demo day. And that exchange of value, you know, helps get these companies ready to go raise significant, you know, funding, capital. Ecosystem development, on the other hand, is this more long-term, community-based approach. So we hire local folks from a startup community, and they work, using our methodologies and our support, you know, and our software and all that to build, like, aggregate a very strong startup community in their local region. One of the challenges, so I had done that in Buffalo. That's actually how I, my first job inside of Techstars was organizing the Buffalo startup community under one of these ecosystem development programs that New York State had purchased from us. And about halfway through the contract, COVID hits.
Yeah.
And we had to pivot our entire operating model because we were doing events where we had that coffee club I was talking about in the beginning, where we had 10 or 15 people showing up. Well, 10 years later, we were having 100, 120 people showing up every week, just talking about startups and their interests and getting to know each other. And obviously that doesn't work in a pandemic.
Yeah.
And so we had to kind of virtualize as quickly as possible. But I think that that community that we had created in person to begin with really helped people in the early months of the pandemic, because they had those existing relationships, and because we were technologists, we had Slack and we had Zoom and we had, you know, I mean, I remember we were hosting game nights, people were playing You Don't Know Jack, you know, and it's kind of like being at the pub doing trivia, and it was a sense of, you know, being together even though we were separate, you know, at the same time. So we run we have two products in ecosystem development. The one that I just talked about is called Community Catalyst. The other one's called Founder Catalyst. Founder Catalyst is a very succinct, it's like a 10-week program, and we call it basically a pre-accelerator.
Yeah.
So we work with a cohort of companies like we would in an accelerator, but they're usually idea stage, they're very early, and we teach you what you need to know to either go raise pre-seed capital or to be like a very competitive candidate for you know, any of the global accelerator programs. But we worked with Japan during COVID. The office was called JETRO. It was like the cabinet office. And we hosted, you know, that one, we had 30 companies in the cohort, and it was all virtual. And one of the benefits, actually, that came out of COVID was we were able to bring in these incredible global mentors into the Japanese market and teach these companies what they needed to know to expand into Europe, expand into North America. And I don't think that program would have been as effective it had happened 12 months earlier, because moving mentors to Japan to give a talk for a day isn't something that is like economically viable. But we could bring like best in class from all over our global network and give, you know, and have them present to this group and have very direct and intimate conversations about their companies and their specific companies' problems. And I think that was really great. That was like a silver lining moment of the pandemic for me, was seeing the impact that these mentors had on the startups, you know, despite the challenges that the world was facing at the time.
Yeah, 8 years ago, me and two friends, we ran an e-commerce meetup in Dublin, and we got about 80 or 90 attending at a time doing this. And we ran for about maybe 6-7 months, it was going very well. And then one of the guys I was running with, he was moving back to his hometown, so he left and that was it. But during that time, I made a lot of friends, and you can see some kind of remember who it was. So when I'm doing what I'm doing now, a lot of guys remember me for back then doing that, and I'm thinking, if we were doing that, then what we're doing now, it wouldn't work now, because 80, 90 in a Zoom call wouldn't work. And the idea was afterwards, is after the meeting was over, we go to a local bar and have a few drinks and get network. And you can't do that in Zoom. And then I'm realizing, wow, what we did then was special. Having the 80 or 90 at least come into an event. And and also we always managed to get these really great speakers coming in from Europe, flying to do the event, or people from Ireland drive up and talk. And a lot of people that spoke, I'm now still good friends with, because when I did what I'm doing now, I'd make sure that I'd take them along on my ride and say, look, what are you doing now? Come in a podcast. Anyone you know that you want to be in a podcast, let me know. So I did it. Well, first of all, doing this, I got a girl called Samantha Kelly, who's called Tweeting Goddess, and she basically was talking how great Twitter was. And my two other colleagues didn't know what Twitter was going to go back in 2013, didn't know how I was going to go. I said, Twitter's going to be the next big thing. We should go with this. So I got her up to do a talk about it, and now she's gone super global. She's known all over the world, and now she's a lot of clients. And every couple of months she'd email me, "Oh, I've got a new client of mine. I think it'd be great in your podcast." And all because I'd been with her from that when it started out. And then when she started doing it, first ever Periscope interview with somebody, she did a Periscope channel. I was the first person on it with her and somebody else talking about what was going on, because she knew me from way back. I'd given her a chance and a voice. And what you guys are doing as well, you're probably giving Loki a voice. So when they come back to help each other, so for example, somebody that you said come to an ecosystem, when they get confident and get successful, they're going to come back and help somebody else grow as well.
Yeah, we call that give first. That's a kind of a fundamental tenet in Techstars operating methodology. It's the idea that like You help anyone out of the gates, you know, when you first meet them, and you just extend that trust, right? I'm going to do this for you. And it's not because you expect something directly in return, but it's also not pure altruism, right? Like, yeah. There's a concept that, like, you'll win indirectly from this in the future. Like, if everyone abides by this cultural value, then, you know, it's the rising tide raises all ships kind of idea.
Yeah.
And like you, Ronan, I've seen those relationships play out over decades at this point, and how important and impactful that is, and really when you make this operating model or ethos your own, you know, and just helping people all the time, it's amazing. Like, you don't even realize, because you just get used to doing it, you don't even realize the impact you're having on folks. And every once in a while you get like a thank you note or something that comes back about how you made an introduction, and then they were able to kind of launch their business, right? Launch their dream job. You know, you make an introduction to an investor that invests $250,000, like, that goes a long way towards helping someone achieve a life goal, and they remember you for that. And I think that's very validating, and it just feels good. You know, one of my personal, so I think when we talk about community building, the most important thing you can do is build connectivity, like increase the density of connections in your social network. And so I have a personal rule that I try and follow, that in every conversation I have, I try and make two introductions. And I actually use a software built by a lad from Ireland, Connor Murphy. It's called Bridge, Bridge app. And, Connor's a serial founder. He's got an exit before Bridge, but Bridge, it manages a double opt-in email workflow.
Yeah.
And so I can say, hey, Ronan, do you want an introduction to Mayel Gavay, the CEO of Techstars? And it sends it to you, and you say, yes, I do, and then you plug in some information, and then it forwards it to Mayel, and it says, hey, Mayel, would you like an introduction to Ronan? And she can accept or decline, right? And if she accepts, then it handles the rest. And then 2 weeks later, it follows up with you just to let me know how the introduction went. So once I built, you know, this kind of working methodology of introducing two people every time, I came up with this goal that I wanted to introduce 1,000 people in a year. Yeah. And I'm real close. I'm about 70 people away. And I don't know what the externalities of that will be in 3 or 4 years, but I know that something great will have come out of it, right? Like, you can't smash that many smart, dedicated, excited people together and not change the world. And so that has been, that's fundamental to building a community and building a startup community, is just connecting folks to the people that can help them that you know.
You know, for me, when younger, I was involved in freedom startups. None of them worked out. And after that, I realized that I want to make sure that when I see a startup, I want to make sure I give them a hand so that they can further their career and get along somewhere. So I decided from now on, whenever I see a startup, I'm going to give them the helping hand they never got. So if I see a good startup, I will go to, I'll meet them at an event, and I'll chat to them and say, yeah, what do you guys do? And I might know somebody who can get into the next level, maybe somebody in PR who knows what to do next. Or I might say, I'll get you in a podcast. Or I'll introduce you to somebody else I know that can take it to another level and get you to grow further. And I've always done that. And I always go, used to love going to startup events. I mean, people like Startup Brian, I go to quite a few of those, meet guys. And a lot of people in there were people in startups that were trying to get advice what to do next. So I go mingle and chat with them, go there, what are you doing? And get to know them, say, this is who I am. Give them a business card, say, look, this is what I do. And I've heard of me, or heard of our techniques, or heard of my podcast. So, oh yeah, we know who you are. Or they might know somebody who's heard of me. Oh yeah, I've heard of you through so-and-so. Oh yeah, how's that person doing? So I've always tried to do that. And now during the pandemic, I've done that less so because I can't get out and mingle. But my always intention was to go to an event somewhere and say, oh yeah, what do you guys do? Go along and chat to them and tell them, I know the right person for you. Or I might say, there's a piece you're missing in your jigsaw, and I know how to fill it. I know somebody who can take you to the next stage, or I know somebody or an event you should be looking at going to. Meet this person, and I do an introduction, and that's it. And I always joke with them, my aim is one day when you're getting your IPO, I want to be in with you and your private jet going to New York or somewhere else and drinking champagne on the plane with you guys, as you get that. But then I want to see you do well. And I've been lucky, a lot of people I've met, a couple that I spoke to, they've run and referred, some happened because the pandemic hit. Others have, and others haven't because they didn't get funding. And the hardest bit for them is funding. You can do so far, and then you stagnate.
Agreed. Yeah, I mean, it's the interesting thing about doing the community building work internationally is I hear the same chorus no matter where we go. Founders always say that there's a lack of capital, and investors always say that there's a lack of deal flow. And I think that's where that connecting people together becomes so important. And a lot of times it's surfacing connections or relationships that people don't know exist. Oftentimes, I'll be working with a city, and we'll be talking to founders, and they will believe that they're the only startup in their industry in their city.
Yeah.
And within like weeks, we'll find 2, 3, 4 other startups, almost, you know, like completely, like directly adjacent to them, you know, and those companies can collaborate. I mean, this is another thing that a lot of founders get wrong, I think, is they get nervous to talk to what they perceive as their competitors.
Yeah,
you know, because again, they view especially in underdeveloped startup communities, they view everyone as a threat, as a risk, as a direct competitor, when in reality, that's almost never the case.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have, right now in Buffalo, I have two different companies that are CRMs for video, right? Yeah. Content management systems, or CMSs rather. And, you know, and originally, like, they were afraid to meet each other. I just kept on reintroducing them. Like, you got to talk. I would talk to one founder. You got to talk to the other one. And as soon as they did, they realized that they have structurally similar products, but completely different go-to-market strategies, completely different segments, you know, and oftentimes they would get inbound inquiries that was a great referral for the other founder, right? And so now you go from a competitive relationship to a collaborative relationship and everyone wins. Same thing when you go out for fundraising, the best place to go find the angels that invest in your type of businesses is to talk to founders who just raised capital for a similar business in that industry, you know, because there was people that didn't invest in them that might invest in you. And I think that's why community is really fundamental to having successful startups in your region. Having a very strong startup community like increases the odds of success greatly.
Thank you for listening to the latest Irish Tech News podcast. Check back every day for the latest episode. You can follow us on Twitter @Irish_Tech News, on Facebook, facebook.com/Irish Tech News, on LinkedIn, linkedin.com/company/Irish-Tech-News, on Instagram, instagram.com/IrishTechNews.ie, and on TikTok, tiktok.com/@IrishTechNews.